What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 236, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I'm just, like, ready to go. I was running a little late, but...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to make it. I was going in my head. I was like, okay, I got to do this without this guy this week. Sleeping or something, so...
Nope, I'm here.
Yeah. Talking about Amazon, when's, like, the last thing that you have bought on the Amazon?
I don't know. I can tell you real quick, but... You want to talk about our affiliate link?
I did. It's thinkcomputers.org/Amazon.
Yeah. Well, let me see what I bought recently.
No, I always find it like it's an interesting thing every time you ask somebody, like, what's the last thing you had bought on Amazon? Mine is Monster, which I'm actually not drinking tonight. I'm drinking my.
It's a surprise.
Yeah. I'm drinking water with Mio in it. The energy.
Oh, okay. So. It looks like you cut the top off of a 2-liter bottle, the way that bottom of that glass is shaped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sort of. It's a little...
The last thing I ordered was...
Look how good my camera looks right now. Look at that.
It does look pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry,
guys. 64 gigs of memory.
There you go.
Delivered July 27th. And then I pre-ordered a book in August. August 18th.
I think I order from Amazon at least once a week.
Nah, maybe.
Like, mostly it's like household items a lot because I just like don't like to go to the store.
I mean, we probably could. We've just never gotten into that cycle, you know?
And it's always Monster because it's cheaper typically than going to the store. And I know I can get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's always there. So, before we get into our news this week, I want to give a little bit of time for people to kind of jump in the stream. One thing I just saw on Facebook, which I didn't really hear that much about, is 2 days ago was the 25th anniversary of the launch of Windows 95.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Isn't that pretty? That one that makes crazy. You so old.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I just want, you know, like, if you remember that and how big of a deal it was, I think I was kind of 95. I would be what? 11?
I was 13.
Yeah, so I wasn't like, I don't even think I had, I got my first computer when I was in high school. So probably like 15, maybe. So I don't think I was as into it. I do remember it being a big deal. Like, it was all over the news. I don't know your experience with it was.
I remember seeing it for the first time at the mall with my parents, and we were walking through like a JCPenney's or a Sears or something, right? And they those, you know, used to be like huge stores back then and super popular, and they have the appliances area and the electronics and TVs and everything like that, and they had computers lined up, and like caught out of the corner of my eye, and I wasn't like super into computers or anything back then, but I knew it was a big deal. And I like shot off from my parents and ran over and was like, oh, what is this over here? You know, and start menu and
yeah,
all it's that kind craziness. Of
like, you don't realize Windows 95 was like the real color interface, you know, the real GUI that we're kind of used to seeing now with the start menu and things that weren't traditionally in an operating system. And I think it was a massive deal. I mean, again, I'm kind of really too young to really know it as that, but I mean, knowing what you know it is that now.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy to think about and how the whole thing has changed now. Like, you know, operating system now is just, it's a service. It's not really, it is an operating system, but again, we're just going to get Windows 10 forever. Like, supposedly. It's not,
you know, that'll change, but...
yeah. And just like, you know, you had to go get the box. You had to get the big Windows 95 box from the store. I do remember
how many floppies it was on. Just
I do remember going to the store, like a Best Buy or at Circuit City, and there was one other one.
CompUSA.
Yeah, CompUSA, and you would go to the section where all like the games and software was, and it was the big boxes, and you were like,
oh yeah,
you get the box, you flip it over, you like want to read everything. You know, so yeah, it's just like, that's just brings back memories. I was cruising Facebook before the podcast and I saw that and I was like, wow, I didn't even realize it was that old. You know what I mean?
This program IBM compatible, right? Like that used to
be. Yeah, it'd be like IBM compatible and all that stuff. And you could see if you could run it. And I do remember like there was like this little computer shop and I would buy games on floppy. I think I bought like Doom on a floppy and something else. That's the old days. Now you just download it, don't have to worry about compatibility or anything for the most part.
Most of the time.
Old man says that they were saying in the comments that Flight Simulator is older than Windows.
Maybe older than Windows 95 or like that.
Yeah, we will be talking about Flight Simulator because there's a pretty cool story about it. And kind of what I've seen a lot of people that I don't think would buy that game have that game. A lot of friends on Facebook. So we will definitely get into that. As more of you are getting into the live stream, let's tell you about our show notes page, which you can see in the description of the video that has everything that we're going to talk about this week. So all of the juicy NVIDIA stories, as well as our reviews, you can go ahead and follow along with us. You can get that link in the description of the video. But let's start out with reviews this week. And we have a memory review, and it's non-RGB memory, which...
That's a thing?
It's 2020, and we have non-RGB memory. So Paul took a look at the T-Force Dark Z, which is their non-RGB memory. T-Force is sort of the gaming brand from Team Group, if you're not familiar. And I actually have to say, it looks... like for non-RGB memory, it looks pretty good. Yeah, it does look really good. They also offer it. This is sort of like a silver or gunmetal. They also offer it in a red. So if you're doing like maybe like an AMD build or something like that, or just a red like ROG build, you could get the red as well. And he got the 3600 megahertz kit, which is 2 8 gig DIMMs, and they run at timings of 18, 22, 22, 42. So not the tightest timings. That's at 1.35 volts. So not the tightest timings when it comes to memory, especially at 3600 megahertz. But for a non-RGB kit, I think it looks really good. It's something that's going to stand out in your system. As far as performance, he said it did really good. He was able to push this memory up to 3866. Which is pretty good as well. So some decent overclocking there. Again, once you get past kind of 32, depending on what system you're running, and motherboard, it kind of really depends on how far you can push this memory. But yeah, I think it's just good. You know, I mean, that's a good looking.
I mean, that's a good picture, but
yeah. Well, very good picture by Paul as well. But I do think that we've kind of gotten away from like good looking non-RGB memory, because on the RGB memory, it's all about the RGB and how it's integrated into the heatsink and all that. This, I like the T-Force logo. I like the little Dark Z. I like the little, like the heat spreader just has its own little design. I think it is a good design. He gave it an 8 out of 10. And what's really impressive about this kit, 16 gig kit is only $64.99 on Amazon right now.
That's a pretty good deal for that speed.
Yeah, and other kits around with the same speed are like $89.99. So that's like if I'm doing a build where I don't want RGB memory, this is like, I'm sold on this because I know it looks good, I know it performs, and yeah, it's very inexpensive. So definitely check that review out there from Paul. Cool. And we will take a look at a gaming keyboard. So I reviewed a keyboard that I had been wanting to review for a while, and it's actually been out since 2018, but it still remains the company's flagship gaming keyboard. So this is the Razer Huntsman Elite. And as I said, it came out in 2018, it's 2020. It's still their flagship. So it is a full-size gaming keyboard with a detachable wrist rest. It uses optical switches, so not mechanical. Optical switches, basically the way it works is that there's a laser sensor in each of the switches as you press down and it crosses that laser beam. Let me do it in front of the camera. As it crosses through the laser beam, that actuates the action of the switch. So technically, optical switches are more accurate. There's no debounce time that you would find in a regular mechanical switch, and they're faster because all you have to do is break the plane of that laser. So that's kind of what they went. And what's nice about this one, I was kind of weird about the optical switches, but they have these purple ones, which are a clicky switch. And I basically compare those to Cherry MX Blues, but a fast Cherry MX Blue, basically like a gaming Cherry MX Blue. The feeling of these is like exactly what I want. I'm a Cherry MX Blue person. Yeah. I like my clicks. I like the clicky sound that they make. And they're just, when it comes to gaming, you really want a red or a brown. If you like, if you play fast-paced games, you really want a red or a brown. But this, these are really fast. I think I put in the, I gotta get out of here.
That's what I've, that's what kind of been my experience with optical switches. A lot of times is they feel so much faster.
So
standard mechanicals.
The actuation distance is 1.5 millimeters, which is 30% shorter than, say, like a blue switch, and only 45 grams of actuation force. I think the Cherry MX Blues are 50 grams of actuation force. So it just feels like a faster Cherry MX Blue, which I absolutely love. Some other things that were, at the time when this came out, were new on a Razer keyboard, dedicated multimedia keys. All of these can be reprogrammed, though. And then there's this little dial. So in the middle of it, there is a mute button. And then there's this dial that you can, you know, it's like a volume wheel that you can go up and down. By default, if you go up, it's volume up and then, you know, volume down. But you can reprogram that to do kind of whatever you want. So that is another added bonus in there, which is really cool. Of course, everything on the keyboard can be remapped, which is nice. There is on-the-fly macro recording. I know that people like talk about that. I don't know a single person
on the fly, like who's ever used on the fly macros.
Yeah, you can do that. I don't even know why it's included. Just like on the fly programming of RGB LEDs. Nobody wants to do it on the fly.
Like I'm going to do this on the fly. Like I can't wait or get out of this application to do it. And like, you're going to remember what keystroke it is or button combo to hold and do it. That's weird.
Yeah. Also talking about macros and stuff. This does work with their Synapse software, which I'll show you. The profiles that you set on the keyboard can be saved on the keyboard. So you can just plug this in and you don't need the software and you will have all of your profiles. So that is nice as well. The detachable wrist rest, it's really nice. It's very comfortable. It's kind of like that fake leather. It feels really good. And the really cool thing about it is that it connects with these six pins. And the reason for that is, one, it makes it super easy to just push up there. Two is that's for power. So you have, we'll go to the next page. You have this RGB strip that goes around the keyboard and it goes throughout the wrist rest, which is really cool. And that six, but we've seen those pins like that on case windows that had some type of RGB or front panels that have RGB. So you don't have extra cabling because how ugly would a cable be on this,
or if it was like a plug like snapping off, right, or something.
Yeah, so this wrist rest easily comes off. It lights up. And now, we did, when the keyboard first came out, Razer was talking about other accessories that you could buy for this, like one that would have maybe a Qi charger in it or something like that. You don't get that. There hasn't been any development on that in the 2 years that this keyboard's been out, so it's just something that they could possibly do in the future, but there hasn't been any word on it. And as far as software, it is Synapse 3. If you're familiar with that, it works with all Razer products. Really easy to do. It does require a login, so keep that in mind. I know people don't like to have a account, but that will save all of your settings to the cloud. So if you would build a new PC, all your settings would be saved, and it's across multiple Razer devices. So any of your Razer devices, all your settings would be saved and all your macros would be saved, everything in the cloud. It's pretty simple software, easy to create macros, easy to reprogram everything. On reprogramming, you can pretty much reprogram the keys to do pretty much anything through macros, different lighting things. There's also Razer Hypershift, which allows you to hold in a button on the keyboard, and then all the keys can be a different something different. So you technically get two layouts basically. So all that kind of stuff, multimedia functions, Windows functions, it can do it all. You have per key RGB lighting. It is very good. Every key is individually reprogrammable or per key programmed for RGB lighting, which can be done in their Chroma software. It looks good. I like it. It felt really good during gaming sessions. The wrist rest, which I kind of missed because I switched out to a different keyboard. The wrist rest is so comfortable, and it doesn't really get like a whole lot of, it doesn't get dirty all that often either. I know
like a TPU, like a kind of a fake leathery.
It's like fake material. Leather. It's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one thing I did notice is that keys do get shine on them because they are ABS keycaps. So you do have that, but I really felt that this keyboard still can hold that title as their like flagship gaming keyboard. It came out, it was $200. It's now $167. The things that it is missing, PVD keycaps would be definitely a nice addition, especially since Corsair did add that on their last flagship gaming keyboard, which is the K95 RGB Platinum XT. I don't think it needs dedicated macros because you have so many, you can add two functions and you have that little dial at the top. And all of that. And one thing I did notice is the Legends. So if you look over here, you can see the multimedia keys. The Legends aren't shine through on these, which is fine, but like it would be nice to just see like back, play, pause, and forward on there. That was kind of weird to me. But besides that, like I said, I still think it is great gaming keyboard, full size if you're into full size. And that wrist rest is just so cool. There is no, old man asked, are there any USB ports on the keyboard? You would think because the keyboard actually has two USB ports. So when you plug it in, you need two USB connections. But that second USB connection is actually to power the wrist rest. So that's a trade-off. And there's no USB pass-through or anything like that. That's kind of the trade-off that you're getting there. So I do think it is a good gaming keyboard. I would expect Razer to update this soon. Yeah. Probably, if not holiday season this year, early next year. It still sells like crazy. It's one of their best-selling gaming keyboards just because it's so cool and the RGB lighting all around. And
I mean, it's got a pretty good feature set for being 2 years old, right? With that RGB everywhere. I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
With the optical switches, when Razer came out with this, they were the first major company to do optical switches. Mm-hmm. And they do have a linear switch, a linear optical switch as well. So if you're not a fan of the clicky ones, you have that option. And they just came out with the Huntsman Mini, which obviously doesn't have a wrist rest, and it's a 60% keyboard. So I think this will probably be the next product that they update possibly. So definitely keep that in mind. But I think if you're looking for a keyboard now, it's solid. The stems on the switches are Cherry MX compatible. So if you wanted to add PBT keycaps, you can go ahead and do that as well. So very, very cool keyboard there. So
neat.
Yeah, check that one out. And then our third review this week is the Lexar NM700, which is pretty much your standard NVMe SSD M.2. It uses the Marvel 88SS1092, which is an 8-channel controller. This is a single-sided using 3D TLC NAND. They rate it for 3,500 megabytes a second read and 2,000 megabytes a second write. Kind of slow on the writes, considering you can basically get 35 and 3,000 from a lot of other drives. Single-sided, as I said. They did slap this professional on it, and I'm still not sure why. Maybe it's because the higher speeds compared to their NM610, or I think it's the 610, the last one that we reviewed. And this drive actually if you look at our graphs compared to other drives, was one of the highest drives in overall read speeds. It topped our chart on Crystal Disk Mark. I mean, not by a ton, but it still was the highest drive. It was really high in Atto Disk Benchmark as well. And actually, PC8 Storage Benchmark, it was the number one drive in our Gen 3 drive. So very impressive speeds. But when it came to writes, obviously being rated at 2,000 megabytes a second is...
You already know it's going to be lower. Yeah,
it's going to be lower. But then I ran into some issues. I didn't notice it initially because a lot of these tests are like, I'm going to write to the drive for a little bit and then I'm done.
Yep.
Real quick, it's Sevex is in the chat. He's from Italy. Hope everything is all good in Italy. But when I ran out of this benchmark, if you look at the graph, you can see we, you know, typically out of this benchmark, you'll ramp up and then you'll kind of reach the max and then you'll stay. You'll stay at that max, right? Mm-hmm. Typically in tests. And I'm like, okay, I'm ramping up and then, you know, I'm losing read performance, which typically doesn't happen all that much. And then, you know, then it drops considerably. Once we get up here, you can see, you know, again, this drive is rated for 3 gigabytes a second. We're at 1.26, kind of dropping down. So I'm like, what's going on? So then I opened the Ada 64 system stability test, which does have the thermal probe for the drive. And I'm like, okay, the drive. Just in this little test, this is the out of this benchmark in no way is some crazy insane.
No, it's not crazy.
I peaked out at 89 degrees Celsius, which I don't know what that is Fahrenheit, but it's hot. And typically in my experience with M.2 NVMe drives, like your drive's going to throttle around 72, 73, 75.
92 Fahrenheit.
Yeah. So that is one very hot drive, which obviously caused... which obviously caused this decrease in performance that you're seeing. You're seeing these big drops in performance, and it obviously is affecting the write performance. Typically, when it comes to M.2 NVMe storage, your writes are what's really going to push that controller and get it to heat up, and we saw that. So this drive, it's great for reads. If you're doing reads, it's solid across the board. I didn't really have any other issues when it came to reads. We did the Ada 64 read test, which we do a read across the entire drive. And as you can see, wrong page. As you can see from that, like that test, perfect across the board. So if you're doing reads, this is a really great drive. I mean, again, one of the fastest ones that we've seen. A Gen 3 drive, but then if you go into writes, I mean, this immediately drops from around the 2000 mark, which would be here. It immediately drops, not even maybe 2% into the writing to the drive, and then it drops even further as you get about 70% full. It just thermally throttles. And if you have a motherboard that has M.2 heat sinks, I don't imagine you would find this problem, but if you don't, you know, it's
you ran this on your test board test bench, correct?
Yeah, I ran this on the test bench, which is open air, which actually I feel would get more air to the drive than a enclosed in case possibly. So I only gave us a 7 out of 10 just because it does thermally throttle, and they don't ship it with a heat sink, which I think it should be shipped with one, even a thin one. I think would help out a lot, especially because we only were writing, like, if you have thermal throttling problems, you typically don't see it in the benchmarks that we run. You only see it in that Ada 64 benchmark. And we actually saw it in Atto Disk benchmark. Some of the other benchmarks were likely affected by it as well. So this drive is, if you're doing reads, it's a great drive. But the problem with this drive is also the price. And we saw this with the last Lexar drive as well, is that, you know, there's no 1 terabyte version available on Amazon, but the 512 gigabyte version is $86.25, which makes you think that the 1 terabyte would be like between $130 and $160 just based on that. And based on other reviews that I read, like that's around the price it's going to be. When the Sabrent Rocket Q, is the 1 terabyte version is $120, and it has better performance, the same 5-year warranty you get with this, and it doesn't thermally throttle. It just kind of, it's a no-brainer to pick the Rocket Q from Saperin. So kind of bummed on this one. I like that Lexar is trying to put out these products, but it just put a little heat sink on it and you wouldn't have the issues, you know what I mean?
Was the sticker the label, did it have any of that, you know, a copper piece between it like some we've seen?
I did take it off, but I don't remember. Okay. And I put it back on, so it wasn't like when I test it was off. It was still on there. So yeah, I'm not sure, but again, it's just a little heat sink, and we've seen them. I mean, you don't need some crazy big heat sink probably to cool this. So just keep that in mind if you're looking into that drive. People are asking in the chat about the RTX 3000 series. We will be talking about that. We're going to run through a couple more things, and then we will get to the RTX 3000 series, which is probably why a lot of you guys are listening. But first, we have Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a build that is in a case that I actually have, which is a very impressive build done by Metallic Acid Mods. We featured a bunch of his builds before. This is the Inwin 925. He has done a very sleek, I like it with the fans.
Yep.
I like it that it's not crazy overly done with RGB. I like, this is something new. So we see this res that is typically a res for a back panel or a front panel or a mid plate. He has to kind of put it like you would see normally, like a vertical graphics card.
Yep. I love it. I mean, it's the 360, yeah, the FLT 360 res, and I love that the fluid in there is more than likely totally clear, so you can actually see through, right? You see those power cables running behind, you see the motherboard through it, which I really like that look there. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen something like that, and I think it's not conventional, but it just works in this build, right? It just makes it look clean. And I mean, he has so many like just clean lines in this with the chrome tubing, the Dominator Platinums in there, you know, which are the older ones, the ones that I've just have LED Capellics lighting. Yeah. No, these are the ones with not the Capellics.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a solid build. And this is actually his personal rig. So this was kind of what he wanted to do for his own personal rig. And I just think it looks, here's a good shot of it. It's just, you know, the Inwin fans match. I think you have these fans, do you not?
I do. I love them. Yeah, I have them in the 905. I think they're great.
Yeah. So this is just an all around, just solid build. And again, it's not like crazy. It's just sleek. And that's one thing I really like about it. It's just a very sleek build. So definitely go ahead and check this one out. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. Real quick, I did do a video this week, finally getting back into doing the YouTube videos. So I did a review of the ASUS, the ROG Maximus 8 Hero that you guys can see my pretty face on YouTube. You can see the video here. But definitely check it out. I do like doing the YouTube videos, and I think a lot of you guys like watching them. So
yep,
definitely.
I liked all, you know, how you do all the ports. You go all around the board. Yep. Nope. It's good to see some new video content.
Yeah. So I have some videos kind of in the works right now. So definitely stay tuned for those. And then you should be doing a video here soon too.
I'm working on it. Yep.
It's tough. The videos are not easy. So definitely check out this video, and we will definitely have some more video content for you guys. And then that brings us to our contest. So if you have not entered the contest to win not one, but two, you don't win two, but there's two chances.
Yeah.
You don't win the two. There's two chances to win a Patriot Viper VPN 100, 512 gig NVMe SSD. And you can see that this one does ship with the heatsink on it, so you won't have any throttling problems there. Super easy to enter with Gleam. That's how we do all of our contests. No issues. Like, it's just super easy to enter. So definitely get your entry in if you haven't. There are like 13 different ways. You can get up to 13, or actually 14, entries into the contest. So there's a lot of different actions and things you can do to get in
there. This one is US only, though.
Yes, this is US only, so keep that in mind. We do have that in our conditions and restrictions and all that. So yeah, that brings us to news. And for RTX 3000 series, we're going to first go over the leaks first, and then we'll talk about, I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the NVIDIA video that was put out this morning or yesterday.
Oh, I didn't watch the video.
The video is really cool, which we'll talk about. But first, we'll go over the leaks in the past week. The first thing is we have what might be a real picture of the card, the first like one that actually looks like what it might be. And it gives us
so big
a picture of the size of the card. And these leaked photos show it next to an RTX 2080 Ti Founders Edition. One, if this is the card, this does confirm this weird cooling solution that has been leaked over the past couple of months. I mean, you know. Secondly, if you look back here, it is a three-slot card. And it's long. It's longer. It's much longer.
So it totally makes sense of that, the new PCB design, you know, where it was kind of an angled cut in the middle, because the PCB is just bigger in general. So you're probably not losing that much space, right? Once you kind of shift some of that to a wider card. Yeah. So makes a lot more sense now that we know it's a lot bigger.
Now, here's the thing is that, so like these car, this is, I believe what people said, this is 310 millimeters. Mm-hmm. The RTX 2080, the Founders Editions are 290, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Or 280, I think, or something like that. In any case, all of these small form factor cases were built
for that.
Were built specifically with every small form factor case I've seen is 300 millimeters, like for a graphics card. And that would fit a Founders Edition RTX card. And a stock AMD card as well. So like that's what they're made for. And now every small form factor case will not fit this. And most small form factor cases are built for dual slot, not triple slot. So you're kind of screwed there too. That's the first thing that kind of came to mind when I saw these. But I do think it doesn't look horrible. I can't say I like it more than this. This is a little more flashy, right?
Yep. I wonder what a water block would look like, old man says. What I also wonder is, like, so we have the trend, obviously, of vertical GPUs and how that will interact or interfere with memory slots and CPU coolers and things like that on cases that, some cases, like, reuse your PCI slots, right? To kind of, if you have, you get a bracket. Like my case, I reutilize the PCI slots, whereas some cases move it further out in the case. I'm just wondering if that what sort of effect that's going to have on.
Yeah, but now that I think of it, like I'm looking
vertical at cards.
I'm looking at my vertical GPU slot. It will not fit a three slot.
More than likely, right? Yeah.
Yeah, more than likely. And again, this is only on the Founders Edition. We don't know if I can't assume that aftermarkets will be triple slot. You know what I mean? But they will be longer. It seems like this PCB will be longer, but we will get custom PCBs from all the AIBs, I assume. So that was the first thing, and that was pretty eye-opening to a lot of people. The second thing is memory configuration. So this is very interesting. If it is indeed true, video cards, the website says that it is true. They said it's confirmed through their sources. So the RTX 3090 will have 24 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory, and the RTX 3080 will have 10 gigabytes. Now, that's kind of interesting because the RTX 3080, performance-wise, I guess it is made to technically replace the current RTX 2080.
Right.
Now, the 2080 has 8 gigabytes. The 2070 has 8 gigabytes. The 2080 Ti has 12 gigabytes. So the 2080 Ti, you're doubling. Mm-hmm. You're going from 12 to 24, which is a pretty massive increase if you think about it. Then with the 2080, you're going from 8 to 10, which isn't such of a massive increase. So I don't know. I don't know what you think about the memory configurations.
I 10 surprises 20? Me on the 20, the 3080 to have just 10 gigs seems, I almost expected us to see 12.
Especially because you have that, you have that doubling of
right.
The 39. Yeah.
I mean, you know that they do so much testing anything, right? Like, we can speculate all we want and say, oh, I really think it should have this, but they know the true numbers. So, you know, if it needed to be 10 gigs, it needs to be 10 gigs.
Yeah. So we'll definitely, again, very good sources say that those numbers are confirmed, but we don't know. I just think the 24 seems a lot for, again, this card's probably going to cost a lot. We had some questions in the chat about how much these cards will cost. Probably 1500 at the low end for the 3090, you know?
For the 3090, yeah. You think 1200 for the 3080?
Yeah, so I mean,
same price about.
But these are consumer cards. These aren't like a Titan.
Right.
And you're getting 24 gigs of memory on that just seems like a lot.
So is the Titan gonna have?
Yeah, that's yeah. So we'll obviously when
and then someone has permission. I think someone was asking about maybe ASUS ROG 1200 watt power supply. I'm guessing.
Can so we'll talk.
So we're going to talk about that, aren't we? The power connections.
Yeah. So then Seasonic posted, or somebody posted this.
Seasonic verified it though, I believe.
Yes. Seasonic did verify it, is that these pictures came out of a new 12-pin connector that will be used. So Seasonic, obviously power supply maker, will be making these extension cables, which take two 8-pins and go into this 12-pin, which the 12-pin actually takes up less space. And you can see that. So for those asking, one, this 12-pin is real and it is going to be on the card, which we'll talk about. And that any card that has the 12-pin will come with an adapter. So you won't need a specific, you won't need a certain power supply based on the pin. You won't need to buy this extension yourself. It will come with the card. So basically it's going to go into 2 8-pins. So as long as your power supply has 2 8-pin PCI Express connectors, you'll be more than good. I have heard that power supply makers are going to come out with power supplies that do have the 12-pin in the future, but again, it's not needed. You won't need it.
Well, and if they're modular, I'm guessing that they can just ship the power supply with 2 8, you know, the 2 8s, and then ship it also with this 12-pin. So
yeah, so that is something cool that you will see on the new card. And is that it for and we have a couple more. First is that MSI had their products go through the, I'm not even going to try to say it because I always mess it up, but the EEC, which is a regulatory thing to bring your products into the country. Of course, all that information is public, and it looks like they will have 29 SKUs for this series, 14 V388, 11 V389, and 4 V390. Those reflect the RTX 3070, 3080, and 3090. So we will have a ton of cards. And this basically confirms that we will have 3 different cards in this, you know, 3070, 3080, and 3090. Probably not. From what we've heard, it's a 3090. It's not going to be called the 3080 Ti. But again, this just confirms that we will have 3 different cards, which I'm excited for. I do not think we'll have all 3 cards at launch, but that's just my guess. They won't launch.
How long do you think till we get a 3060?
January.
Yeah, January.
That's that they don't want you to buy that card.
No, they don't
want you to. They want you to spend the big money.
You want this one now.
Yeah. So that was kind of all the leaks and everything about the 3000 series. Now, what was confirmed was that 12-pin connection. NVIDIA actually released a video. It's actually a really cool video, and I would definitely, we have it linked in the article that you can see here. It's called The Remarkable Art and Science of Modern Graphics Card Design. And there's actually some really cool things in this, their whole philosophy behind graphic card design. And it kind of plays as like an Apple video. It's like, you know, if you've ever seen like an iPhone video, like we had to do this and we had to change this and this is how we thought about that. But because it's a graphics card, I think it's very cool. They talk about like their four different pillars of graphics card design and how they do it. And it is really cool. You get to see this wireframe, which
it looks awesome.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff in there. One of the cool things is that on the back of the card, you typically see the thermal solution being connected by spring screws. Mm-hmm. They have this new, because they want that to be closer. They want it to have better thermal properties. So they created this new leaf spring for their next generation cards, which you should see in the RTX 3000 series. And it's this new leaf spring design, which is actually pretty cool. They go over that in the video. So I would, again, highly suggest you guys watch that video. But then they did confirm, this is a screen from the thing. They did confirm this. And again, if you look at this PCB, it is kind of what we looked at. There's the cutout. So the whole idea behind the change of the power connector is less space being taken up on the card and less interference, a less electrical interference. Okay. Taking up less space without compromising the power going into the card. So if, you know, you don't want less power, you want as much power as you can in that connector. The connector actually takes up less space than 2 8 pins. And you don't have those two currents going together where they could interrupt each other. You have one current going into the card. That's the whole philosophy behind that.
I hope that's really reinforced, right? Like, that's a pretty tall connection. And you know how, I mean, sometimes like getting those 8-pin or 6-pin connections onto the card, it's a little like tough sometimes.
Yeah,
this being vertical, I hope it clips in a little easier.
Yeah, so it would be interesting. And maybe that's why the card's 3-slot as well, because again, the connector is decently tall. So, but this basically, and this video more or less confirms like that design that we were kind of expecting with this V cutout of the card and all of that. So check out the video. It is really cool. It shows even the cover. If you look at it, it's an airflow thing. Mm-hmm. How we see that this is a new card right here, like, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of hints, and I think some people kind of went over the video and talked about there might be some like things that you don't notice the first time. So check it out. NVIDIA will be holding an event on September 1st. I believe it's like
next Tuesday.
Tuesday. Which is it's all going to be streamed online, so you'll be able to watch it. We'll have the links where you guys can check that out. It should be easy enough to find anyway. So that's probably be the next official update from NVIDIA on these cards. But it seems like they're putting a lot of time into these cards. And, you know, obviously because they can't have like in-person events and all that kind of stuff, that they are putting out, you know, this video. Like, we've never seen NVIDIA put out a video like this as far as like going over their philosophy of design and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited. It gets you kind of pumped for the cards. So EK, who we know for making they're pretty much the standard when it comes to water blocks and that stuff. They did hint that they will be ready with water blocks for the RTX 3000 series.
Those Twitter posts are pretty good.
Yeah, so the Facebook posts and some Twitter posts as well. It does seem like, from what I've heard, that a lot the board design has been shared with the people to create custom water blocks with the AIB partners for custom cards. So you're not going to see like this, at least I don't think, you're not going to see this Founders Edition be out for a long time before custom cards. And you're also should be able to see custom cooling solutions available very close, if not at launch, like a week or a couple weeks after launch. So if you were getting this card and you want to do a custom cooling solution like a water block, it should be available from the big players pretty soon after launch.
It'll be interesting to see what water blocks look like with that angled design.
Yeah, I am pretty excited to see how that whole thing kind of because again, if you are water block, you don't need that extra space, which I assume
at the back. Extra,
yeah, so it's like, are you gonna? Could you see a V cutout?
A V, right? Is it gonna be V shaped block? Could you put in like a little reservoir distro section back there, or who knows what they'll come up with? I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be
really lots of possibilities.
So that is the RTX 3000 series information that we have. If you guys have any other questions, if anybody's all you guys in the stream, put it in the chat and we'll definitely get to it. Again, I can only tell you what we know, and there's pretty much everything that's kind of out there on the internet right now. So moving over to Intel, they had one of these things where they go to the distributors and they talk about their products, and they had these slides, which basically say they compare a Core i7 10700K to a Ryzen 9 3900X. And they say that it's faster in games, which we all know. And they say that they're the cheaper version. They're the cheap, they're
more affordable, right?
Yeah, more affordable. One, they compare the 3900XT, which is the 16 core 32 thread. Right. Am I doing that math right?
16 and 32?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but it's 3900 XT is 12 and 24.
Oh, yeah, 12, 24. Sorry. The 10700 is
8 and 16.
Yeah, 8 and 16. Obviously, two not the same things. They say they're a cheaper option. Maybe when it comes to gaming, right? But again, like, you're not considering that the 3900 XT is going to blow the 10700K out of the water in multi-core.
It's not anything. An equal comparison. Yeah,
at all. It's just like, it's once again, just makes you like smash your head against the wall and wonder like what Intel is doing. And this is like,
why not
to their customers?
Why not compare, like, if you know the 10700K is beating the 3900 XT, why not show it against a Ryzen 7 3700 XT or 3700X, whatever, something lower down. The prices are going to be closer and you're still going to beat them with better numbers.
It's because they want to show
that
they want to show the price, that disparity.
Yeah, I know. Like, we all see through it.
At the end of the day, we know that Intel is better at gaming. Like, we know that they are. One, you're not going to get the multi-core performance, and you're not going to get the platform that has Gen 4 for storage and for graphics. It's just like Intel, you could do this so differently, but then, stuff like this comes out, and then you wonder why people are moving away from you, because that's not the right comparison. Mm-hmm. I would say that. It's just not. And again, there are like the 8700K probably beats the 3900 XT in most of these games as well. That's just because Intel's better at gaming.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's just not the right comparison. So a lot of people laughed at that this week.
And they do it all the time. It's just, they don't learn.
Yeah, they don't learn from their mistakes, which is the sad part. Talking about AMD, we have this weird cutout of a leaked roadmap, which looks like this. Okay. So the top is CPU, the middle is the CVML, which is like low profile design, because you can see the low profile DDR4 and DDR5. Mm. And then the bottom is APUs. 2020 is Vermeer, which we expect to be Ryzen 4000 series desktop. And then we have this 2021, which is called Warhol. You can see that they're naming their code names are
artists
after artists.
Yep.
So it's interesting. 2021, Warhol, Zen 3 still, which will Vermeer will be based on, still 7 nanometer, which Vermeer will be based on, and still PCIe 4. So I basically think this is the refresh.
Refresh, yep.
And then we have Raphael, which we can't really see. I do see this Navi.
I know.
Here, which is weird. Van Gogh, this CVML, not really interesting to us because I don't really know what that is. Like, it's not a traditional APU. It's not a traditional CPU. It's something completely different.
Well, there's a whole group below too, right?
Yeah, so we have the APU. So these are the APUs. I'm not going to
even below that though. There's a box.
Yeah, right? there's a box. How do you say this? Cezanne?
I was saying it in my head, and now you said it, and I can't get it out.
But again, that will be Zen 3, 7 nanometer, Vega 7 graphics, which is weird.
Cezanne.
But it is cool to see that we're on track up here. This is kind of the one that we're really interested in anyways. And you won't see a big change. And again, there are also speculation that this might be the jump. So this will be AM4 still. This could be the jump to AM5 or the next socket after that right here. Even though AMD said that AM4 will be good till 2024, I believe.
things
definitely change on that. So that's like kind of like a little glimpse of what you might see from AMD. As you can see, it's kind of like in pieces. So again, take it all with a grain of salt. But on the CPU side, we have seen them not many delays. Everything has come out on time. So hopefully in 2020, we see our Ryzen 4000 series and then a refresh in 2021 and maybe something new in 2022. So kind of excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for new Ryzen parts, even though Ryzen 3000 series isn't all that old, but I'm just like, I'm ready for something new now.
I'm like, oh, my brand new system here. There's already something coming to replace it. It's slow down.
It's crazy the world we live in now, right? Flight Simulator came out. Everybody I know is playing it. People who I didn't think would get the game are playing it. And it is incredibly taxing on your system.
It's a new Crysis.
I was going to say, we're in the world. We're not in the world of will it play Crysis. It's will it play Flight Simulator. It's not my thing, so I'm not super into it. I have seen a lot of people getting it just to fly over their house and take a picture. Mm-hmm. We have seen that a lot. Go ahead.
I think if I got it, like, I would run it for a while, and then I'd never touch it again. And then I'd be pissed that I spent so much on it.
Yeah. So, John Petty Research says that the game will actually generate $2.6 billion in hardware upgrades in the next 3 years, which is pretty impressive. It makes sense. I think a lot of people, I think it was at when it did, like the older one, I don't even know when that came out. But like, people built whole systems just to play that back then. Yeah. And I think, and a lot of us, like, I remember seeing it in high school and they had the whole setup for it. And I do remember that. And I remember playing and I remember how cool it was. Now I'm in, you know, mid to late 30s. Some people will be in their 40s, remember it. And they have the money to build something like that now. And you're going to see a lot of people doing it. And again, it is the new Crysis. People want to play it and they want to play it in 4K and everything like that. So I think that's awesome. I think that the more games, just like how Fortnite was the big thing a couple years ago that brought people to playing PC games, another game which wasn't really expected to do it is going to bring more people into the PC realm, which I think I love.
Yeah, and really, it's a simulator, first of all, right? Like, I mean, we call it a game, but so I think a lot of that 2.6 billion is actually probably going to come from training groups, you know, airlines, pilots that are trying to train, you know, in a digital world, especially right now when virtual training and teaching and things like that are super.
Old Man did say it is on Xbox Game Pass. I keep forgetting that it is. That's an amazing deal because I think isn't Game Pass $5 a month?
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth checking out just for that. But yeah, you're right. It is a simulator. So you will have all of these people, you know, you, for the most part, you really can't go to a flight school right now, right? You can't go do those things. You can't, as groups, or if you're in flight school, you can't, might not be able to regularly meet and do what you would normally do. So this is another way to do it. And you need systems to power the game. So yeah, so really cool. I've seen a lot of gameplay, and I've seen a lot of screenshots of all my friends flying over their houses in the game. So worth checking out. Yeah, Xbox Game Pass it, right? I mean, yeah. how much is Xbox?
Looking and I couldn't find the exact number.
Because the game's like $100 or something like that.
Game Pass price. I want the PC price though. I don't want.
And a lot of, weren't some graphics cards being sold with the Game Pass?
I think so.
As an add-on too.
So I mean, I know you can usually get like the first month for like $1 or something.
Yeah.
But just saying that's right for you. All right. PC $4.99 a month, which is limited. Typically it's $10 a month.
Okay.
So join for $1.
Yeah. So it's worth it just in that. I don't know if you're like you have to sign up for a year, or there's any of those stipulations, but and there's a ton of other excuse me, there's a ton of other games on there. Gears of War is on there. I know there's some other good games on there as well. So a ton of games on there. Check it out. Another interesting release by Razer is they introduced a new productivity suite for professionals.
So I love this.
We know Razer as a gaming company. And these are not just like products that Razer slapped their name on or they're going to sell. They're actually...
Don't they work with Human Scale?
Yeah, they work with Human Scale, which is... Is it like an ergonomic company or...
They're like... I want to say SteelSeries, but I know that's not the right name. They're an ergonomics office design type of company.
So they came out with a mouse, a keyboard, and a mouse pad, all made with ergonomics in mind and professionals in mind. And I think that the company that kind of is the number one seller at this, of course, is Logitech. So this is them kind of going after that. If you look at this mouse, it looks like their MX Master, or what is it called? The MX Master or whatever that every YouTuber has. I don't know why, because it's not a great mouse, in my opinion. Especially for gaming, but so they have this new ProClick mouse, which uses their 5G sensor. It puts your wrist at a 30-degree angle. It looks very much like the MX Master. It is wireless, Bluetooth. There's also this ProType keyboard, which I would love to try. It has these soft touch buttons on it.
So the material, yeah.
Yeah, soft touch coating on the keys, which I think would be really, really interesting. It can be used wired or Bluetooth. It also has multi-host Bluetooth, which means you can connect it to multiple systems and switch between them. And then you have the Pro
Glide. I think it has white RGB as well, right?
It looks like it, yeah. I can actually bring up the
page. It reminds me of one of the older Mac keyboards. It was like clear with the white keys.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's got some lighting.
Yeah, so the things aren't cheap. I think the mouse is $59, the keyboard is $129, and then the mouse pad is just $10. So
decently, I think I need to order some new office keys.
I love that they're white too. I like the white.
They're gonna. I mean, seeing like interacting with people's keyboards and mice in an office environment, I know how gross these are gonna get. So a black version would be nice, or maybe a gray, like a gunmetal gray, a darker gray version.
Gray is this on here, yeah.
The white's going to turn disgusting for some people, but yeah, these are awesome.
But yeah, really cool stuff, and it's nice that they didn't just put this out like as just white, or you know, they actually work with a company to make these for people who are on their computer a lot. Now, one thing I would like to see is companies like Razer, Corsair, come out with products for normal people, non-gamers, as a package. Yeah. So I could get a mouse, a keyboard, and a headset, and a webcam.
Well, we kind of we kind of talked about this last week, and I was going to mention this later, but on Home Gadget Geeks when we were on last Thursday, right? We kind of discussed that. It'd be great, yeah, if they had this productivity setup of nice sounding microphone, either a standalone mic or a headset with a nice sounding mic, and maybe a little light or a better camera for all these virtual workers now.
Yeah, and it would just make a killing. But it is great. It is great to see that Razer did do this. I think Logitech kind of has it wrapped up. If you're like, that MX Master or whatever it's called is like the mouse that so many people use, and they have their keyboards and all that. So it's good to see Razer kind of take this on. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of goes. I would love to try the keyboard too. The prototype, I want to see if I can get one of those into review just to see what it's about. So yeah. And then,
is it available now?
I believe they're available now. Yeah.
You can order them.
And then our last little piece of news is gaming news. Hitman 3 will be an Epic game exclusives for the first year. Well, I guess we haven't got out of these Epic game exclusives. It makes sense. I never played the Hitman games. It will come to Steam a year later, which is crazy. So. Old man said, do virtual workers get virtual pay?
It's all virtual, right?
Yeah, the whole world's virtual. But yeah, this is like another, Epic Games still doing exclusives. It works for them. And the best part about it is that the money that they pay for the exclusive allows the developer to fully develop the game with the funds that they need. And they don't need to put out a million DLCs to recoup loss or whatever. You know what I mean? They have the money. Mm-hmm. Which that structure I think works really well for a lot of developers. So yeah, that is the news for the week, and we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. I'll be taking a look at another very small case. You can kind of see it in the this way. I always mess that up. You can see it right there. It's really tiny. It is the Fractal Design Era ITX. I have it in the gold color, which is there it goes. I have it in the gold color. So this came out a little while ago. I've been wanting to take a look at it. I love small form factor systems. This is different from Fractal. It's very small. So I'm really concerned about how small it is. You always run into different types of cooling issues when it comes to small cases. So I will have that. But it's beautiful. It is it's so beautiful. It's so small. It look awesome on any desk. So. I will have that for you. And then I'll also be looking at something I've been using for the past 3 weeks almost, or maybe longer, is the Creative Sound Blaster K3, which is basically like a external audio interface, more or less. It's a mixer too. You can add in some cool stuff. I'm not going to do it on stream because it'll sound really weird, but I can change my voice around. I can do all this kind of stuff. It's another option for people who are streaming for better audio. Of course, you can see you can connect two XLR mics up to it. You can monitor yourself in real time. You can actually hook up your phone to the back, and that you can play stuff from your phone through it. So if we were doing this stream, and I'm like, oh yeah, this person said this in this interview, I could actually have that queued up on my phone and then hit play, and they would play through. Play through so you could actually hear it and the audience could hear it. There's a lot of cool things. This is not just for gamers. People use this for podcasting, on location podcasting, because it is so small and there's no external power besides
USB.
USB type C. So that you don't need drivers. There's no driver, there's no software. It just works. Musicians use this, like it's really cool. It's been out for a couple years. It's on promo right now for $100, which is really cheap. It was on sale earlier this year for $130, and now it's only $100. So check it out. I've been playing with it. It is really cool. If I sound good in this podcast, I assume that it works really well. And it supports it supports microphones that need external power, because this mic that I'm using, the Audio Technica AT2020, needs external power. So it has that as well. So there's a lot of cool things you can do with it. I'm excited to tell you guys about that next week as well. And this is where we get into
more.
Oh, wait. Oh, well, I forgot your review.
Jeez.
Ryan, we're taking a look at a product that I think is it was becoming increasingly popular for people who are traveling. And I think it's popular now for people who, that just this need like an extra monitor. And these have become so inexpensive. This is the
Zisus. I think Zisus or Zisus.
Yeah. So you can tell us a little bit about it.
No, I mean, it's a portable 1080p screen powered by USB, has multiple connectivity options, right? HDMI, Type-C, folds. It's super thin. Like, I know it looks thin and,
now,
and
everything, but one, I just... Does this one have a power... What power is this? Just USB? Just USB. So that's the killer. So we have seen portable monitors for a while, but all of these new ones, all you need is USB type C. You don't need that extra power brick to take with you, which makes these great.
I mean it's super portable, like you said. Thin, light. It's not a gaming monitor by any means, but I've been using it whenever I work from home as my secondary monitor on my laptop. And it works great.
So. Well, that's the thing too, is especially with a lot of people working from home. These small monitors are just awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're so small, so easy to set up. I remember like I had a couple of these like 3 or 4 years ago, and they were just big and clunky. And it was like USB 2.0 at the time. The connect, because this takes typical HDMI, right?
Yeah, it's a full size HDMI.
Okay. Which is nice as well. So you can connect a lot of different things. Also great for people who are playing on consoles. I think it's a good thing too. So that's 15.6 inch 1080p IPS. Nice. I like it. Very, very cool. So we'll have that stuff for you guys next week as well. And now here's where we talk about if we've done anything tech related or did anything tech related this past week.
I flew the drone a little bit this weekend.
How's your drone?
It's good. It's good.
It
got a little dusty.
Shinny Gaming is in the chat, and it's his birthday, so happy birthday to Shinny.
Yeah.
It's the same birthday as Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Who's 40.
He turned 40.
So we're very old.
We're getting there.
Are you getting better at the drone?
I think so, yeah. Flying it feels more natural. Every time, I've probably flown it half a dozen times, so not a ton. But a lot of the times, it's been windy. And... I mean, which isn't that big of a deal because this thing is so stable. I'll watch it flying at me and it's like at an angle, but my video is nice and smooth and flat. It does such a gimbal on it. Does such a great job. And I've been watching some YouTube videos on some extra features that are kind of, hey, if you do this, you can, you know, really improve it. So, it's been good.
We were on another podcast.
We were on Home Gadget Geeks last Thursday with Jim and Mike. Talked about cooling, fans,
heat sinks, water cooling. Ryan busted out his collection of old coolers.
Yep, it's a collection. That's right.
Do you still have them? Do you still have them out?
No, I don't. No, I put them away. I did a bunch of cleaning afterwards, but I had some old school stuff and some crazy looking coolers too.
Yeah, you did.
Some SwiftTech cooling, just a bunch.
Corey is in the chat, my buddy Corey. Asus ProArt IPS monitors, those are amazing. So the ProArt line from Asus is awesome. You actually, there are ProArt motherboards as well, but ProArt are some of the best monitors out there for editing. Now, if you're just like an amateur, I would suggest spending the money that those cost. But there are IPS panels, they're so good for editing. Especially, and they're like, they come calibrated quite well too, so you don't have to do much calibration on them. So definitely suggest that. For your drone, you didn't have to get the license because it's so small,
right? Correct. Yeah, it's 249 grams, so it's under that 250 requirement. So I still try to be smart about obviously where I'm flying it.
It's in my save later on Amazon is the newer one, the what is it
from DJI?
Yeah, it's the
Mavic Air 2 or something?
Yeah, the Mavic Air 2. I really want to get it, but yeah, you have to do all the other stuff, but I probably will.
Yeah.
Probably will be like my holiday gift to myself, I think.
I looked at some of the like test questions and I don't know. I think I could do, you know, some studying and
yeah, I mean, you could take it's just like anything. You can take it multiple times, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
I haven't taken a test in a long time.
Yeah. I hate doing that.
Yeah.
And Shinny got I know he got a Raspberry Pi 4 and loaded it up with Octoprint. So he can.
You need to, Ryan needs to make printers. Some more.
Maybe, yeah.
You need to make some more Raspberry Pi stuff. That was really interesting to me, at least. But yeah, I haven't done much. I did order a new test bench for.
Yep.
There are some new graphics cards coming out, so I'm getting ready for that. So I'm pretty excited to build. It's the first time I've built a new test bench in a couple of years, I think. The last time I bought a test bench was the Praxis, the wet bench. So I'm excited to use that.
I don't know how I like didn't even think about this, but I got some parts in. You're talking about test bench and
you did
parts from
AlphaCore.
AlphaCore, yeah, you got here got GPU block. There's like this whole pile of parts right next to me, and I don't know how I'd like.
Yeah,
I'm gonna mention it. So yeah, I'll be doing a full liquid.
Yeah, we will be doing. Ryan will be doing a full custom loop with all AlphaCore parts. It'll be really interesting to see how that goes.
Soft tubing this round, and then I'm gonna switch over to hard tubing when I move cases. So
yes. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on with us, and I will be. I might stream building my test bench because I think that's a lot of fun. So, and the test bench I picked up was the open bench table from a lot of people suggested getting that. And I think it will work perfectly for what I'm going to be doing.
Cool.
So I'm really excited to, and I ordered it from, it wasn't on Amazon. You could order it directly from whoever makes it, but it would come from the Netherlands. It would take forever.
Streetcom or something.
Yeah. So quietpcusa.com. I've heard of them in the past. I haven't really gone on their website probably in 7-8 years. So, but yeah, they had it available, ordered it, and it comes here on Monday. So I'm excited to check that out as well. So. But yeah, so we are going to get off of the podcast here and jump onto Twitch and do some gaming. Shinny, I assume Shinny will be joining us on his birthday. So definitely jump over to Twitch and we can wish him happy birthday. And, you know, him and I are going to get some kills. I don't know so much about Ryan, but we'll see how that all goes. We'll be playing some Apex Legends. So definitely check us out over on Twitch. And that is it, guys. If you want to subscribe to the audio version of this podcast, if you're not in the stream tonight, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app or software. So until next week, we will catch you guys.